Tough breaks on the days, 1872. Guys, anyone here speak Polish? Doesn't matter. The Jews in Poland didn't speak Polish. The Jews in Poland spoke Yiddish, including the calendars. They spoke Yiddish. That's what everyone spoke. Polish, only a few people knew. So all you need to know for this is Yiddish, or to have a working knowledge of English, because I'm going to translate it into English. Bizar HaKadosh, Mishabeach Rosh Divrei Eliezer Avraham. So in the Holy Sefer of the Zohar, Rosh Bar Yochai praises Eliezer. Because you know what Eliezer said? Eved Avraham Anochi. Who are you? I'm Avraham's slave. When Eliezer, the slave of Avraham, in this week's parasha, he defined himself. How did he define himself? I'm just Avraham's slave. In other words, he basically negated his own identity. And we pointed out, and those of the guys in the Chug know, we discussed how if you look in this week's parasha, an amazing thing. It doesn't say his name. It calls him either Eved or Ish. Slaver man. Eliezer only says in a previous parasha. Why? Because he completely and totally defined himself not as himself, because your name is your essence. I'm not Eliezer. I am the slave of Avraham Avinu. Shehaya Zechia Etzlo. He was proud of it. He was proud to say that he was Avraham's slave. Masha Zechah L'Shavsho. He wasn't just his slave in the sense that he cleaned up Avram's food after the meal. He took off Avram's plate and washed the dishes. What does Chazal say? Domestic Eliezer, who remembers? Dole umashke mitoles rabo lachayim. He, dole means, that's when you take a pail and you go deep in the water. Mashke means you give to drink. Mitoles rabo, from his Rebbe's Torah, lachayim to others. And that's why my wife pointed out to me, Shlita, that Eliezer said, I'm going to give a test to see who's going to be Yitzchak's wife, Avram's daughter-in-law. And what was the test? She was also going to be Dole Omashke. What was she going to be Dole Omashke? Water, literal water. So he did that with Torah. Torah is related to water. So essentially, I guess on some deeper spiritual level, not I guess, I'm sure, that Rivka, what Rivka was doing and what Eliezer was doing, were really one and the same. That you're taking of water and you're giving of others to drink, whether it be spiritual water or physical water. You can't expect Rivka yet to give what would be called a shiur klali, a complex Talmudic lecture, as she was only 3 years old at the time. However, what she could do is, she could walk around with a pail on her shoulder saying, hey, I want to bring water for somebody. So he defined himself as Eved Avram, and what he did was, he went around spreading Avram's Torah to others. Parenthetically speaking, one of the Hasidic Rebbe says, so if that's the case, Avram Avinu said, when that pasuk he said, I don't want, you know who's going to inherit me now? Eliezer, who's Damesek, who's Delma Mashke Mitoritz Rambo, Lachayim. So, on one hand, he's saying, I don't want him to inherit me, I want to have my own inheritor, I want to have my own son, but he praised him. When you're saying you don't want somebody to inherit you, why praise him? Avram called him Damesek Eliezer, that he's Dolel Mashke. So, if you want to say, I don't want him to inherit me, then why in the same breath should you praise him? So I forget which Rebbe it was, but one of the Holy Rebbe's answers, because Avram was saying, I want somebody who's going to be original. Somebody who's just going to take my Torah and pass them on, that's very, very nice. But as far as somebody who's going to inherit me, who's going to receive my physical and spiritual gifts, I need somebody who's going to be a little bit original. And all Eliezer does is repeat my Torah. And it's a very, very Hasidic idea that on one hand, we receive a Mesorah, we have our Rabbeim, on the other hand, we can't just be copycats. And that's why in Shemoneh Esrei we say, not Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It would be enough. There's only one God. I've announced this before and I'm going to announce it again. There is no Trinity. There is no three gods. There's one God. So why then do we say God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob? Why do we say that in Shemoneh Esrei? Because each of them found their own path to God. Avram found his path to God through stressing Chesed. Yitzchak through stressing fear. Yaakov's Midah was Emes, was Torah, was Glory. Each one had their own way of finding God. And they also receive from their father, obviously. And that's the whole idea we're going to read about next week, about Yitzchak digging the wells, right? The wells are water, water is Torah. He's re-digging the wells that Avram dug, and then there was stuff. When you put that in, there's a lot of important Torahs in that in the Hasidic world. But we're not getting into that. So that is why Eliezer cannot inherit. But nevertheless, that was Eliezer's job. Eliezer's job was to pass Avram's Torah on to others. And he was a complete Eved. He was completely subservient, and he was proud of it. He was proud of it. He was proud of it. Like, you'd be proud to get up and say that you're Rav Nemetzel's closest Talmud. You can take all of Rav Nemetzel's Torah and pass it on to other people. How much Torah does that give you? Oodles and oodles worth. So that's what Avram did with Eliezer. Eliezer did vis-a-vis Avraham. I am his slave. V'amuzal. And the rabbi said, Mitol Sheshireis also tzadik b'emuna. Because he faithfully served the tzadik, he faithfully studied Torah at the feet of the tzadik, Yatza Mechlal Arur Lebaruch. He went out of the status of being cursed, and he went into the status of being blessed. Why? Because we know that Eliezer wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. Right? Being a mechut with Avram Avinu, that's a nice mechut to have. He's father of the chassan, you're the father of the kala. It's great, you sit with him at the dais, at the wedding, it's unbelievable. What did Avram Avinu tell him?
No, I went from Haran.
Avraham Avinu said, he told him straight, he said, you're Arur, I'm Baruch, you're cursed, you're Canaan. Canaan's cursed. I'm blessed, and cursed cannot get close to best. In other words, it seems a little harsh, but you have to understand what Avraham was saying to him. Avraham was saying to him, you are doing the best possible Avodas Hashem you can do. You got close to me, you're taking all of my Torahs, I'm the God Lator, you're taking all my Torahs, you're conveying them to other people. When I have to go wage war, you're right there with me. You're my most trusted advisor. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like saying, it's like, imagine you work with somebody, your closest friend in the world, your business partner. He did everything for you. And then he wants to make a shidduch between you, your son and his daughter. What do you say to him? You say, listen, you're a goy, and I'm a Jew, and a goy can marry a Jew. Right? Everybody has to know their place. So therefore, this can't be. So he was Aru Canaan. So I'm sorry, Avraham Avinu said. It's just not, the shidduch is not going to work. I can't marry my son off to your daughter. Right? He's your Aru. But because he served Avraham Avinu faithfully, he went out of Aru and he became Baruch. What does the pasuk say? When he came to Lavan, Baruch Hashem. I think on that, Chazal say, it's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, and Samach Zion, you can look it up, I didn't look it up before, but I think, if I remember correctly, I think I saw it, that it's on that pasuk. Bo Baruch Hashem. That now Eliezer, but the important thing is that Eliezer is now considered blessed. Why? Why is Eliezer blessed? Because he got close to Avraham Avinu. So what were we talking about before? We were talking about how important it is to get close to a tzaddik. So that's how Eliezer essentially became Baruch again. Because he was so faithfully served Avraham Avinu, it changed his status from cursed to blessed.
His daughter was still Ur?
Excuse me?
His daughter was still Ur then?
No, then it was too late already because, you know, the deal was done, I guess. Because he had already went, and he had already found Rivka, so then it was too late. But at least afterwards it would have been a possibility. Had Yitzhak not married, then I guess it would have been a possibility because he's Baruch. Maybe if he's, but maybe you're right. Maybe if he's Baruch, maybe his daughter's still Arur because she's still related to that nation. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe
right?
Shouldn't that make his descendants
Baruch? Right, and that's the question. If he became Baruch, what about the descendants after him? So I don't know if all of Eliezer's descendants have status of Baruch or not. But he certainly has the status of Baruch. It would make sense that they wouldn't for the simple fact reason that they were already, it's like when somebody converts, let's say a parent converts, after a child's already born, the child was born a goy. They were born Arur, he got close to Avraham Avinu, but how did they change? Right? If it can't be natural anymore, because they're already in the world. He doesn't have the same, if a person converts and then their child is born, then the child is Jewish. But if the person converts after the child was born, the child's a goy. So it could very well be that even though he became Baruch, but since his children were already in the world at the time, it was too late for them to become Baruch, unless they themselves were close to Avraham Avinu, which we don't see. Cain, Gamisha Chafetz Umishtokek, Lasos Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody who desires and yearns and pines to do the will of God, Umishabeach Oso Tamid, Al Shezacha Lasos Mitzvosav, Yucha, and he praises him always on that he was worthy of fulfilling his mitzvahs. Yuchal Gamken can also al yidei emuna zu, through this emuna. Shemamin she'en lamala milasos ritzoni yizbarach, that if you know, if a person believes that there's nothing greater than fulfilling the will of God, al yidei ze yuchal lotzeis mechlal olor ulehizdabek b'ashem yizbarach. If a person believes that there's nothing greater than serving God, in other words, he becomes an Eved Hashem, he makes himself an Eved, so such a person can, just by believing that, by believing there's nothing greater than serving God, he can become Dabek Bashem. He can cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because we see the same thing. He became Baruch, he became blessed, by what? Because he knew, Eliezer knew, that there's nothing greater than being the servant of Avram Avinu. So too, how do we become Baruch? If we know that there's nothing greater than being an Eved Hashem. And that's where we take pride. What are you? I'm an Eved. What does David HaMelech say? Ani Avdecha Ben Amosecha. What does Ani Avdecha Ben Amosecha mean? I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant. What does it mean, I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant? Excuse me?
My mother's your servant.
My mother's also your servant. What does it help that my mother's your servant? So I once saw somebody explain that it means that a lot of people, if they're not born a servant, so they don't really feel like a servant, if only afterwards in life they became a servant, because they used to be free, they used to be independent, and now they're subordinate to somebody else. What happens if you are somebody's servant, but you were born to their maidservant? All you know is to be subordinate. That's all you know, because you were born that way. That's what it means. I'm not only your servant, God. I'm the son of your maidservant. Don't know the thing. God, all I know is that I'm your... All I know how to be is an Eved. I'm an Eved. And if somebody really believes that, then he can truly cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because then he doesn't have... That's how he defines himself. What are you? What is it? Ivri Anochi. Right? That's what Yosef Atzadik said. A person defines himself by his Jewishness, by the fact that he's an Eved Hashem, by the fact that he's a member of a chosen people. That very belief will in itself make him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will change him, because it's a completely different attitude. How do we see ourselves? We see ourselves as independent. We're individuals, we're human beings, we're people, and we have our own will. And on the other end, there's God. We believe God created us, and we believe he gave us the Torah, and he has his will. So what most people try to do is, in life, they try to find a balance. On one hand, I'm going to try to fulfill God's will, and I'm going to try not to let that conflict with my own will. And people do it to varying degrees of success. Sometimes it conflicts, and their will wins out. Sometimes there are greater conflicts, sometimes there are lesser conflicts. But they basically compartmentalize, and they say there's what I want to do in life, and then there's what God wants me to do in life. And we'll see. When I get up in the morning, that's God, because I go down. Now I'm going to eat breakfast. I'm going to make sure it's kosher. I'm going to make a bracha. That's also God. I'm benching. God. Then they go off to work. What's work? Work is for me. Work is because I want to make a lot of money. Work is because I want to be successful. So that's me. Me, 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 me. At 1:15 it's God again until 1:30, mincha. Right? And then it's me, 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 me again until they get home. And then they do a little Gemara homework with their son. It's God again. Then they go to the Ranger game. Here we go, Rangers. Here we go. As I say that, I'm smelling marijuana because I used to go to Madison Square Garden. And I often remember the strong smell of marijuana that used to waft through the stadium air as people by the name of Ron Duguay and Barry Beck were trying very, very hard to defeat their opponents while they too were inhaling marijuana. Yes, not their own. I'm saying from the stands. Okay? So he goes to the Ranger game, and then when a Ranger misses a wide open net, the goal was all the way on the other side. He uses 12 four-letter words. That's not for God, that's for himself. But listen, the guy, if he's being paid $1 million a year, the least he can do is score a goal. I'm saying this was a key point in the game. And then he goes home, and he goes back to sleep. And you know what he does before he goes to sleep? He says, Kriyas Shema al Hamita. And that's for God again. So more or less today, you know, he wasn't dishonest in business, so there wasn't really a conflict today anyway. He didn't cheat. At the rain, when he cursed, that was a conflict. But here, you know, he was really mad, so the cursing won out. And so therefore, it was more or less a day. He gave some to himself and some to God. Not perfect, not bad. In the middle. I know a girl who's living with her boyfriend. They're living together. Right? They're not married. She says Kriya Shema before she goes to sleep. True story. I know it's if I start telling you stories, I don't know, a little graphic. But I know stories like that of people who are complete contradictions. They give some to God. There's a concept in America called the tefillin date. Yes? And not because you're going to stay up all night learning with her and then you're going to go off to shul in the morning. Right? It's because you need your tefillin in the morning and I'll let you use your imaginations. And what do people do? The night is for themselves and then in the morning it's for God. What do we have to do? We have to define ourselves. We say, we're an Eved Hashem. I don't even have an opinion. Whatever the Rabbanu Shalom wants, that's what I do. There's a famous story actually about the Gera Rebbe. I think it was the Imre Emes, the Sfas Emes' son. The Imre Emes, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai Migur. If you're ever in my house, which I hope you should all be many times, and you see me saying to my son, Avraham Mordechai, it's because he indeed is named after the Imre Emes, Rabbi Avraham Mordechai. And if you're wondering why to name after the Sfas Emes, it's because my wife didn't want the name. So I had to go for the Imre Emes. But if my wife would have said, Yehuda Ha'ilei, I would have Yehuda Ha'ilei. But it's all men of Shemayim. In Shemayim, they wanted my son to be Avraham Mordechai. Avraham Mordechai is a very, very beautiful name. So Avraham Mordechai Migur, the Hasidim were once heard that he has special kavana when he says, Ono Hashem. Ono Hashem. When he says Hallel, and he says Ono Hashem, he has special kavana. So the Hasidim, when they hear the Rebbe think something is important, they go berserk. Like, this is it. It's the Rebbe said. So you know what happened that Hallel? When the Hasidim got to Ana Hashem Hoshiana, oh, did they scream. What does it mean, Ana Hashem Hoshiana? Please, God, save me. Save me, right? Does it make sense to have special kavana for Ana Hashem Hoshiana? Please, God, save me. Oh, they screamed to the top of their lungs. Uno Hashem Hoshiana! That's what they said. And then they got to the next one. Ana Hashem. Remember the Rebbe had kavana for Ana Hashem? Ana Hashem ha tzlichana. What does it mean, Ana Hashem ha tzlichana? Make me successful. Who in this room doesn't want to be successful? Ana Hashem ha tzlichana! From the depths of their soul. Afterwards, the Rebbe said, you got it all wrong. It's the wrong Ana Hashem. You know what I have special kavana for? Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. Behold, God, I am your servant. Right? It's also part of Hallel. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, ani avdecha, ben amasecha. It's the wrong Ana Hashem. What's the difference? The difference is Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. It's for us. God, make me successful. I'm the center of attention. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. Who's the center of attention? Hashem. We have what's called, in fancy philosophical language, a theocentric religion. We put God at the center. And when you become a true Eved Hashem, and this of course is the key, you yourself become a very powerful person. Because God has everything. So the more you're connected to God, the more you're connected to life, because God is life, Elohim Chaim, the more you're connected to eternity, eternal life, the more you're connected to goodness, the more you're connected to love, the more you're connected to warmth, that's all about God. What's the opposite extreme of God will always be Amalek, and that's you're connected to everything bad, everything that Amalek represents. Cruelty, lack of passion, hate, all of these things, Nazi Germany, right? All of these things, that's the opposite of God. So we want to connect to God as much as possible in order to bring good into the world and in order to fill our purpose, which is to be Bruchim, to be connected to God. And so Avraham Hashem said to them, V'abarachah mevarechacha, u'mekalalecha or, right? Those who you bless will be blessed. Why tzaddik goes there? A tzaddik makes a decree, and God fulfills the decree of a tzaddik. Why is that? You can read any Baba Sali book or any other of those types of books. Right? And even if, I believe all the stories might be true, but some of them are definitely true. And I've met many eyewitnesses who've seen tzaddikim do miracles. So how do they have that power? It's very simple. They're connected to God. So when they say, you shall be healed, it's as if God said, you shall be healed. It's that simple. So that is the first little piece of Sfas Emes that I wanted to do. Unfortunately, we have so little time. Okay, so let's get to the next piece of the Medrash. Tav Reish Lamed Gimel. You have it? We have 10 more minutes. Tav Reish Lamed Gimel, you with me? What year are we in now? 18. What's your name?
Sam.
Sam. What's your Hebrew name? Shlomo. Shlomo's with it. 1873. Only 4 years before I was born. The Medrash. Yodei Hashem Yemei Tamimim. It says in the Medrash, God knows the days of the complete. This Medrash is quoted in full earlier. V'nachalasam la'olam tiyeh, and their inheritance is forever. Kishem Shehem Tamimim, just like tzaddikim are complete. Kach Shnosam Tamimim, so too their years are complete. And that's what it says about whom? About Sarei Menu. Just like she was complete, so her years were complete. She was a perfect person, and she made the most of her years. Okay? Perish Tamim is Farish Bevezofayim. What does it mean to be Tamim? What does the word Tamim mean? Echad, She'ein Bo Mum V'hu B'Shleimus. You don't have any blemish, and you are complete. What does it say about a carbon? A carbon has to be Tamim. That's the opposite of having a Mum. It's interesting. Mum with a tub. But Tamim means a carbon that has a blemish, a sacrifice that has a blemish is blemished. And Tamim means it has no blemish. After Avraham Avinu got a bris milah, what was he called? Tamim. What does Tamim mean? Shalem. He's complete. Noach ish tzadik, Tamim haya begolosav. He was also born with a bris milah. He was Tamim, he was Shalem. Shalem is he was complete. Okay? Now, the Medrash says, Sarah was complete, and her years were complete. What does that mean? V'lazeh shayach hazman. And that also relates to time. Ki ha'adam nivra lahotzi shleimuso menakol mikoach el hapoal. Adam was created to take the perfection that lies dormant within him and to bring it to fruition. What is man called in Hebrew? Adam. Says the Maharal, that's from the word Adama. What is Adama? The land. What does the land do? It grows, it produces. A man is Adama. We are supposed to take our raw dust and we're supposed to create fruits. What are fruits? Torah and mitzvahs. That's what our job is in this world. And children. And children as well. So that's our job, to bring as many fruits as we can. By the way, and that's why the world of Schar is called Gan Eden, to garden, because our mitzvahs that we do, our fruits that we produce, are the Schar. When we do mitzvahs, we create our own reward. We set the table, we cook the food, and then we eat it, if we indeed cook the food. Our job is to take, again, the potential greatness that we have within us, and bring it to its practical, concrete end and result. V'kevan sh'nevra b'olam hazeh, since you were created in this world. V'yesh l'kol echad zman katsuv rabotai, we're all here on a limited visa. We're all here on a limited visa. Remember that. Al kein sh'yesh shayach l'zman l'shlemuso. Obviously, if we have to take, we have to become perfect, and we have a limited amount of time, so obviously that time that we have is part and parcel of our task in this world. Because we have to take advantage of every moment. Every moment, it says in Kabbalah, has its own purpose, has its own task. Every day you learn new things. Like my grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, said, an unbelievable idea. Do you know what the word day means? Yom in Hebrew means light. God called light day. So what is day? Light. Light is a physical light. Light is also a spiritual light. How do you say Torah in Aramaic?
Torah.
Or Aita. Torah is light. Ki ner mitzvah, the Torah, or. Torah is light. A day is called light. Why is the day called light? Because every day you're supposed to learn new Torah. You're supposed to see new lights of Torah. What else? When it's really dark, what do you do wherever you go? Stumble. What happens if there's light? You have a sense of sight, which brings to clarity. Light is clarity, right? What do you read? Comic books? Yes? The light bulb goes on when he has an idea. That's what Torah is. Torah is supposed to give a person clarity about what I'm doing, how I should be acting, what my life is all about, how I should conduct my relationships. Torah gives a person clarity. Torah is or. Every day is or, because every day is Torah.
Light.
People always ask me why I walk around with light. Shmuel now understands. That's why I always walk around with a lamp. I need as much clarity as I can get, physical and spiritual. Every day we say in davening, God is constantly recreating the world. He's renewing the world. Don't think that the world is on a timer and that God just set the timer and then when after it warms over in 27 billion years, it'll be done. No! Every second, God is giving the world and you new life. Think about it. You're not on a timer either. Every second, God has decided to give you life. Even when we curse. Even when we say Lashon Hara. At that moment, God is giving us new life. Even we're at the movie theaters and we're watching a half-naked woman roll around in a bed with a three-quarters naked man. Yes, I wish she was only half. Okay? Even when we're at the movie theater and Hashem is saying, this is disgusting. What are you watching? This is a very private act that they're doing over here. What are you watching it for? And you paid money for this. Hashem is still giving you life. Hashem loves you. He doesn't like it. I promise you, he doesn't. But he gives you life anyway. You know why? Because he loves you. And he wants to give you a chance. So that's it. Not that you guys watch it, but in the world. You guys are giving me funny looks. You don't know that in movies that they show people who are dressed immodestly? You don't know. You've never seen it. Baruch Hashem! But you should know for your children, you shouldn't let them watch. It's really bad for them. It's really immoral. What they show on the screen is disgusting. Nimsa. Shenose HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol yom nekura hisoros b'chol ish Yisrael. If every day is a new light, and God creates Mechanish B'chol Yom Tuvo Maitse Bereshis. Every day God is creating that day. What does that mean? That every day is a new light. Every day is new opportunities for spirituality. Every day is a new opportunity to cling to God. So you're going to tell me, listen, for the first 17 years I wasn't doing so well. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because today is a new light. Today, Yom Revi, Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Chayei Sarah, you are going to have new spiritual opportunities that never presented themselves before, and you have to take advantage, you have to chop around. They're there. Whether you see them or not is irrelevant. The Sfasemis saw them. There's a story about Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian. Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian was a great mashgiach here in Kfar Hasidim. Kfar Hasidim was up near Haifa. He was a holy man, Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian. He was not a member of the Hasidic movement. He was a member of the Musar movement, which is a different branch, which maybe we can talk about and learn on other occasions. Matter of fact, we did last week a little bit. We learned the Sefer of a more Musar approach, which we can discuss what that means at another time. But he once went, when he was in Europe, when he was a young man, he went to see the Sfasemis, who by then was already an older man. Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian died in like 1970, 71, and the Sfasemis died in 1905. So we're talking about when he was a very young man. And he went to the Sfasemis to get a bracha. And after he left, they asked the Sfasemis, you give him a bracha? No, excuse me. He came to the Sfasemis, and the Sfasemis said to him, what are you asking me for a bracha? You're a young man, and you've already had a Gilui Eliyahu. Eliyahu and Avi already revealed himself to you. That's what the Sfasemis said to the Levi, to Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian. And afterwards they asked Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian if it was true. So he admitted that recently his wife had been very sick, and he was like walking in the field somewhere, and all of a sudden a man approached him, and he gave him some medicine, just out of the blue, and he said, give this to your wife. So what is amazing about that story? There's a sefer called Lev Eliyahu on the Parsha, on Chumash, on Musar, which you should get, written by Rebbe Eliyahu Lapian, because he already had Eliyahu and Avi reveal himself when he was a very young man. And there's another man called the Sfasemis, who could look at the Lev Eliyahu and know that Eliyahu and Avi revealed himself to Rabbi Lapian. Right? So each of them are on the level. So we're talking about a guy, Rebbe Sfasemis knew, they say in Yiddish, Vustitzach in Himmel. He knew what was going on in Shemayim. And he tells you that every day you have new rights. So grab him. Oh, I'm not such a religious guy. I'm not so holy. I'm not so special. Forget about all that nonsense. Tomorrow or today you have a new opportunity. Grab it. Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. One of the most fundamental Hasidic teachings. It's already a Rashi in Chumash. Rashi was a Hasid. Even though he predated it by about 600 years. Bechol Yom Gechadoshim. God said, what does it mean, I commanded you today? God didn't command us today. God commanded us 3,300 years ago. Why does it say, Shema, I commanded you today? No, why does it say, I command you today?
Every day.
Every day. Every day there are new opportunities. Every day there are new lights. Remember, day is light. I have new spiritual light coming down every day. And if you are able to receive this light, then it says, God knows the days of the Tumimim, of those who are shalem. Why are you shalem? Because you are shalem, because you took advantage of the days. Remember the Medrash says, God knows the days of the righteous, of the complete. Just like they are complete, their days are complete. Meaning if you're a truly righteous person, you grab every day. Right? There's no such thing in Judaism as a doubleheader. Today's rained out. today I'm taking a break from being Jewish. I'll be really doubly good tomorrow. No. Every day has its own lights. And that's what Tzari Meinu did. That's what a Shalom person does. He never takes a day off from Yiddishkeit. Lubavitcher Rebbe was Rebbe for 51 years approximately, from 1951 until 92. 51 years. He worked 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 hour days. Everybody knows you go to see Lubavitcher Rebbe when he used to receive people, it would be 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And he would have tishes and he would speak for 6 hours and he would write tens of thousands of letters and he would give shiur and he would receive people and people and people and he would tell people in Israel what to do, what to tell the government to do. He was a very, very busy man, 51 years. One day of vacation. One day of vacation. They convinced him to go visit the Chabad summer camp somewhere in the mountains, which isn't really necessarily a vacation for him because, you know, he saw the kids, he probably spoke to them, you know, he drove up there, he drove back. Probably wasn't the easiest day for him either. But he never ever took a day of vacation after that, and he regretted that day for the rest of his life. He stayed in Crown Heights, and he got busy. That's what he never took a day off. And I know people like that, I can tell you today, there are people like that, they never take Rav Nevinsal. After his operation last year, he had a Mishnayis next to his bed. The moment he woke up, boom! Right back to business. There's no time to watch cable TV for Rav Nevinsal. He could lie back. Let me, you know, after you've done shot 75 times, you know, you figure I'll take a little bit of a break. Believe me, if you go and ask him a question on the parsha, and he's taking a vacation a little bit, he'll probably still be able to answer your question. He's not going to be lacking. They're still going to sing, you know, Yom Mali Mei Melech Tosif, maybe when he walks in the room, if you'd be interested, which he isn't. But he never takes a break. A Jew never takes a break. It doesn't mean you never take a vacation. But even when you're on vacation, what did they used to tell us in summer camp? You're never on vacation from being a Jew. Which I think they meant was, even if we go to an amusement park, you shouldn't buy unkosher pizza. Which not all of us listen, but that's the idea they're trying to convey. You're not on vacation from being a Jew. I never ate on kosher pizza, to the best of my knowledge. Every day is a new garment. Avram went up to Shemayim and Sarah. Every day they had a garment. Us, some days we're naked, some days we're dressed. Some days we do well, some days we don't. But that's our job every day, to grab our, take advantage of what we have. Okay, so that is Shnoseim to Mimim, that every day they take advantage of every day. So we're going to skip to the end, skip to page 163, top of the left, top of the right column. That's one type of Tmimus, that every day you add on new knowledge, new understanding. V'yesh'o, page 163, second to top line. V'yesh'o perish tamim. Tamim can mean something else. It doesn't only mean Shleimus, it can also mean She'eno meharher. What does it mean, she'eno maharher? That you have complete faith. You don't have doubts about God. You don't doubt God. You don't suspect that God is doing the wrong thing. Like Rashi says, tamim tiyem Hashem elokecha. What does it mean? You should be tamim with God. It means al tahar acharav. Don't start saying, oh God, why did you bring the Holocaust? Why did you make my aunt sick? Why did you make me not so smart? Why did you this? Why did you that? Tamim tiyem Hashem elokecha means, God, whatever you did, is as they say in the modern parlance, the Seder Gamor, 100% fine, God. That's what the pasuk. That's another explanation of Tamim. One, Tamim can mean perfect, Shalem, you perfected yourself. Another explanation can mean that you don't second guess God. You don't second guess God. Tamim Tiyam Hashem Lokecha. Now, if we said that, again, the Medrash compares, the pasuk compares, Yodei Hashem, Yimei Tamimim. And the Medrash says, just like the Tzaddik is complete, is Tamim, so too their days are complete. So first we explained it that the Tzaddik takes advantage of every day because every day is a new light. But what does it mean in this context? Why do we compare time and the Tzaddik? V'gamkei nachon al hazman v'ateva, shenira sosa l'hakidusha. Nature seemingly contradicts holiness. Why? What did a famous doctor once say? Performed thousands of autopsies, never seen a soul. So you see God? Where is he? I don't see him. Svasenis, by the way, he's somewhere wherever he went. But nature, if you have eyes, natural blue eyes like I have, with a pretty high number for my glasses, you know, I can't even see you guys so clearly. I certainly can't see God if I'm seeing with my natural eyes. Rav Katz always talks about how we have Ruchnius eyes and Gashmius eyes. With Gashmius eyes, you can't see God. You can't see all of them happen. What does cynic say? Oh, I'll worry about it when I get there. Right now I'm living in this world. I'll worry about the next world when I get there. You can't see Gehenna. You can't see Gan Eden. You know what we see?
we see that pretty girl sitting right in front of us. I'm not referring to myself, even though I'm sitting right in front of you. I never claimed to be a pretty girl. But we see the pretty girl in front of us, and we see the good food that we want to eat, and we see the party, and we see the casino, and we see the fun people are having. We see the vacation. We see a swimming pool. Look at the swimming pool. There are men in the swimming pool, there are women in the swimming pool. I know there's some rabbi who says that you're not going to go mix swimming, but what does that have to do with me right now? I see the swimming pool. I don't see the rabbi, and I don't see the punishment I'm getting. So therefore, nature contradicts God. We know that Hateva is Gematria Elohim, that God is Gematria the nature, and therefore God is, because God is drowning in nature, He's there, we just don't see Him. Of course, everything in nature is God. The Rambam says, you know, you come to love and fear God? Do really well on your chemistry readings, and you'll see God. Study really hard, learn your bio, your chem, your physics, your orgo, learn all that stuff, you're going to know God. That's what the Rambam says. But that's only if you have the right eyes. If you don't have the right eyes, it's going to be a complete country. You're going to say, look, everything works just by itself without God. Look, my body, I'm healthy without God. Everything is doing fine without God. People often turn to God when things go wrong. They say, oh no, God, now that something's wrong, I need you. But when things are right, we don't need God. And a lot of times, if people, even when things are wrong, we don't need God. So therefore, nature contradicts God. Now, time is part of nature. Why is time part of nature? Because before the world was created, there was no time. Bereishis Bara Elokim means God created the beginning. So if God created the beginning, means God created time. Time seemingly contradicts God. That's part of nature. So therefore, Yidei Hashem Yimei Tamimim. God knows the days of those who are tamim. What's a person who's tamim? A person who's tamim is somebody who doesn't second guess God. Even though he doesn't understand everything, he doesn't see everything, he still knows God is there. How does that relate to Yamin? Even though nature contradicts God, he doesn't second guess. Even though time is seemingly a contradiction to God, God is above time. Time is a creation. And God transcends all of that. So, and therefore, we're living in this world of time, which is an essence, which seems to contradict the existence of a God. Nevertheless, just like a tzaddik doesn't second guess God, the way God conducts the world, and what God does, and the way God acts towards him, a tzaddik also doesn't look at time and see that as a contradiction to God. Rather, how does a tzaddik see time? Time. Can't go into it because we're already well over our time. But I wanted to transcend time in this way. We would know that we shouldn't be influenced by time. But the word time means to prepare. Hazmana in the Gemara means to prepare something, to set something aside. The word time in Hebrew means preparation. Why does time mean preparation? What are we preparing for?
The end of time.
And that, Rabosai, is Ma'oras HaMachpela. What's Ma'oras HaMachpela? What does Machpela mean? Double. What does double mean? What is double? The people buried in Ma'aseh Machpelah, their life was a double. Everything in this world is repeated in the next world, because everything in this world is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore everything in the next world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they weren't fooled by anything they see in this world. So Rabosai, it's all an illusion. Don't be fooled. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's us, and we should be proud to be Abdei Hashem, and I believe if we really can internalize that, we will always be B'Simcha. Two. Don't go yet, Yosef. Three. Four. Nine, 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 nine